allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I know that they'll be here for the 6:30, so they should be walking early for that anyway.
Okay.
If they didn't see any zoning items, they may have not thought to come, but I wrote last week before the agenda was even out and asked them to come for the 6 o'clock and be prepared for this topic, so hopefully they'll show up.
Okay.
Public comments?
Public comments?
None.
Appear to be none. Can we approve the January 29th, 2018 minutes?
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Approval of agenda for April 30, 2019?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Just read this.
Yeah.
Inform, oh, can I read it?
No, you read it.
Okay. Inform items from the Commissioner Brown's office. County liaison will provide updates to include recent citizen concerns on Mount Charleston efforts impacting lower Cuyahoga Canyon community and other issues impacting residents in the lower Cuyahoga Canyon area.
So I really don't have any updates for you. The last thing I sent all three of you was the NDOT update on the 95 improvements. I don't know if you guys have any questions for me on that. I don't know how the answers, but I can get you answers.
Well, it looks like they're coming along quite rapidly. Is it opening up? Originally, it was supposed to be this July. Are we still on that deadline? Are they going to go sooner?
Well, they might. They might finish the key components sooner, but there's probably a lot of cleanup, and that's usually what that end date is with all that, you know, fine tuning. They usually put in a couple of months.
And then keep in mind, after it's done, it has to be tested and approved, and they have to do all that paperwork.
So who gets to drive on it first?
I don't know. They'll probably do something. If they announce any kind of
ceremony.
Yeah, you guys will all be part of that. In fact, I'll write to their public information officer and ask them if there is going to be something in it that we would like to have you guys be part of that ceremony. Yeah, I'll ask them that tomorrow.
Okay, great.
Planning and zoning?
None.
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 General businesses. Discussion on what home businesses are allowed in the community to include current businesses with active business license for possible action. Discussions on what are allowed residential rentals in the community, including room rentals, casitas, and apartments for possible action.
So for the first one, on what home businesses are allowed in the community, I can tell you just a little bit of a history. Earlier, 10 years or so ago, the county actually had a very specific list of businesses that were allowed to be home-based. If you didn't meet any one of those, then you had to apply for a special use permit to allow it. But then with the crash in the economy, there was a discussion about getting rid of the list and letting anybody have a home-based business as long as it didn't include bringing customers onto the property. So that opened it up to a lot of other things. And as far as employees, you could have up to two, but they had to be family members. So it was your own home business, two employees that had to be connected to you somehow through the family, and you wouldn't attract any customers to your home. It opened it up for all of that. And so people have been taking some liberties with that because you can only imagine, you know, here's the rule, let's stretch it just a little bit. But as far as actual businesses where you're attracting customers, that didn't really change. That still requires the commercial category, with the exception of preschool. You can have a daycare at your home, and you can have a a boarding facility, forced boarding facility. So those are the only two that have been, and they have been all, that was even before the crash, that those two type home businesses were allowed as long as you met certain criteria. And that's all in the Title 30, and I know you guys know that with regard to square footage per stall, covered area, that kind of thing. And then a requirement for proper cleaning and the flies and that kind of thing. So with that, I asked a business license if they could run a list in Lower Cowke Canyon of all of the approved home-based businesses. So they gave that to me, and I don't know if you guys can see that up on the board. I don't know if I can.
My eyes aren't that good.
Do you have it printed anywhere?
I do.
Oh, good. So there's two different kinds of horse boarding facilities. There's residential and commercial.
So the difference is residential is where you board horses, including your own. Commercial is where you don't own any of the animals in your boarding facility, and all of them are other people's.
No, that's not unless they changed the rules since I've been doing it, but residential was under 24 horses,
so,
and commercial was over 24 horses.
So that may be additional criteria, but the basis for residential and commercial,
okay,
is the you own your horses with others, or it's just a business and you don't own any.
Right.
And then there's specific additional criteria that each one has to comply with and that you're allowed to have. And so the commercial may provide for more than residential. I don't know that. So this list is only nine. So Desert Excavation, a contractor on Candy Street, Edgel Equine Center on Russell, it's a boarding stable, a TNC driver, Erica Wenzel on Russell, then your two ranches, the pet care.
Where's the pet care?
I have three licenses, just for confusion.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, I got
it. Retail sales, boarding stable, and pet here.
Okay.
And then Las Vegas Steel Targets on Moffett Boulevard, retail sales.
That's Kurt Stone.
And then your ranch, and then a recording studio on Grand Teton. So those are the only businesses that are licensed in Lower Cowke.
Including home or just?
That's the only ones.
That's the only ones.
Okay.
Okay.
So, okay, wow. So we have other people up there that are running horse boarding facilities.
And I can forward this to you.
Okay,
that would be great.
That would be great. Is the recording studio that guy that came in here with the day that everybody got into a big messy fight over his 38-foot high garage? That's what he did with that?
Let me.
You weren't on the board at that time,
yeah.
And Woody had, it was just Steve and I, and the people didn't want the 38, 33, 35, whatever it was, foot high garage. And we had heard he was opening up a business on top of the garage, and he said he wasn't.
I think. Is it the really tall house?
No, it's actually back by, off Scotty Road to the left and back in there.
Okay. There's so many houses. Oh, that's amazing to me.
This is Robert LaPorte.
He's got all those antennas.
Huh?
Around his house. He's got all those antennas around his house.
Take
that's
a
the
look.
Recording studio.
This is where he is.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's got antennas?
Oh, that's what that is?
Oh.
He does like radio, ham radio and all that.
Oh, sure.
Stuff.
Okay, the light with the big blinking white light.
Maybe we can get him to scream at the airplanes that fly over.
You never know. You might want to.
Okay.
So we're running pizza on there. Right there in Parker.
So, I'm sorry, you're with planning, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess our question is what steps do we take?
I don't know if Sammy and Nancy mentioned to you about Lower Cow Canyon having the discussion about the boarding of commercial businesses at home. And
no.
I'm sorry that they didn't.
Is that on the agenda today?
It is, and I wrote to them last week to give them a heads up that whatever plan was coming, hopefully
so
they
the
would
issues,
let them know so you could be
it's nasty on Facebook.
Illegal
boarding facilities are advertising all over Facebook, and the bad part is they're trash talking.
We're having
all
a meeting right now.
All
the
boarding facilities.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's freaking
horrible. Yeah, it's terrible.
Really?
They're soliciting actually
so
contacts
I,
and calling
I can only say that last
really?
Week I said,
yeah, like going on, like, you know, we use our social media page to put pictures of this and that, show contact clients and try to solicit them and offer them half off boarding for 6 months.
And
where are they at?
The
restaurant,
the big farmhouse. I don't know if you remember them. That
I can't think of the last name right now.
Parker.
Parker, there you go.
Parker, okay.
Well, regarding.
Okay, so you turn left. Where can
boarding stables
as
a commercial business
past that
and
little
as
house
a residential
right there.
Business.
Big
and what the criteria is for each
used
one.
Used to be the big roping house where you always had the lights
right
on, the
now.
Kids were out front.
Oh,
so
no, no, he was
further
a
up, further up. Yeah.
No, no, nope, it's further
no.
up.
Oh, it's further up.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah. The bigger house.
The bigger house, okay. All right.
So her and then Lucky Star, down at Lucky Star. There's two down at Lucky Star. Behind Jamie.
There's people behind Jamie?
Let's have that conversation.
Yeah, a lot.
Really?
There's two.
Okay. Wow.
Two people down there.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
Okay, so this is, and I apologize, I don't know.
I'm Steve DeMare with Singer Play out of Clark County.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
How you doing, Louise?
Good.
I see you're early.
He didn't get the memo, and so he's going to be, you know, on the hook, but he's first in Title 30.
Well,
so
let's not go that far. I'm still new.
So he'll help us through it, okay? So we were talking about the residential and the commercial boarding stables, and we were talking about home businesses in general.
Okay.
And I shared with them that you can have a lot of home businesses, but you can't invite customers.
Yes, right.
Property.
Yeah, home business is like home occupation. It's basically a virtual office. It's your administrative office. You get your mail, and that's it. No customers. No employees.
Understood.
So that's basically it.
Email.
So,
you can be an accountant.
Yeah,
email.
You can hit
got
stores.
It.
I mean, sometimes people have small stores, but no
yeah.
commercials, vehicles, or anything. Sometimes you get a lot of people who are like landscape companies and they have those commercial vehicles, and so they
got
to find a place to park those
got
instead.
It. Okay, so I guess the question that we would have is we are being inundated. We're getting more and not less of businesses of two sorts. Illegal, we didn't know, but that's what we wanted to check and see. Horse boarding facilities that are boarding anywhere from, we've counted anywhere from 12 to as many as 25, 30 horses, where people are keeping them in their homes.
With no licenses.
So
yeah.
The only two
it's
legal boarding
right
facilities would be, you know,
yeah.
you know, I pay a lot in license, insurance fees, you know,
mm-hmm.
we do everything the right way.
Yeah, because a lot of times
a loss
that,
of money and then
get, well, if someone's doing illegal, you have CC Pro, which is Clark County or Public Response Code Enforcement plus Animal Control. But also have a say in that if any animals are going to be involved. Who knows if they're.
So for those, you would just need to give me the locations.
Okay.
We'll
so you
that.
Want the
you
the
send,
locations,
send
the address.
The locations,
okay, will do.
I'll turn them into code enforcement, which we'll share with Animal Control. So it's going to be one initiative for my end.
And as far
okay.
and as far as boarding stables, like in a commercial aspect, it's always a special use permit.
Right.
So
is
right.
residential still a special use permit?
For let's see.
I think as long as you meet certain criteria.
Yeah, a lot of it is generally in the RE area, and it's usually one large animal, like a horse per 7,500 square feet is generally the minimum standard lot area for each horse. Now, I know you can see some RE zone properties are in some areas that are more suburban. It's like, how do you get a horse on there? But there are some certain criteria. And, you know, I'd be happy to show you in the book.
So where we're at in Lower Cuyahoga Canyon, in order to have a horse boarding facility, it would have to be a commercial. It couldn't be a home-based business, of course, because they're having clients to their home.
If it's not their personal horses, yeah, that's correct.
Correct.
If they
correct.
Have some of their personal horses and some other people's
yeah,
horses?
Yeah, I still would consider commercial if they're taking money for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're
correct.
Like watching your horse while you're out of town, that's a different story. But we're starting to take money and
giving lessons and such.
And all that, then it becomes a commercial activity, and then kicks it into a different criteria.
Okay, so the difference between a commercial horse boarding facility and a residential horse boarding facility isn't the number of horses?
No, generally it's mainly, it's just, you have to have a minimum lot area for like a residential.
I brought this up.
Yeah, there you go, right there. I can't read that far from here, but.
And I can't, so boarding stable, residential.
So a minimum 80,000 square feet, one animal per 4,000 square feet of lot area. And if you're talking about commercial, it's a minimum lot area of 160,000 square feet. Minimum of one animal per 4,000 square feet of lot area, so you have to have a larger.
Right. But they wouldn't be able to slide under the home business if they were doing lessons and accepting money. Okay, understood.
So it's if they're taking any sort of commercial money, it's best, you know, that's
okay.
It's gonna be considered commercial.
And then, so the other issue is we have, is some homes that seem to have been converted. Oh, I'm sorry.
So residential. A residential boarding stable requires all the conditions for commercial, and in addition, the criteria that he just said.
Okay.
So, and the commercial requires a special use permit.
Yes.
The residential, as long as you meet all the criteria, you don't have to have a special use permit. It's just a conditional use permit.
Do you have to have a business license?
So let's read what the criteria is. This is just the pastures, turnouts, square feet, boarding stalls, rails, fencing, signs, paving. It doesn't say. But if you're actually
collecting money, you have to have a business license.
Okay, gotcha.
Even in the commercial, it doesn't say you have to have a business license. But no, you do. So what I'm just saying is the category of residential and commercial isn't connected to the business license. It's connected to the criteria in Title 30.
Okay.
And a residential boarding stable has to have everything that a commercial does and in addition for additional criteria.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
But the difference then is with a residential, you don't have to go through the formal public hearing process as long as you meet the criteria.
And then does somebody go over there to make sure they meet the criteria?
If they were going to apply for a business license, they would.
Okay, gotcha.
If they were just doing it on their own, probably not, unless somebody did turn them in. And then they would say, I met with planning, I meet all the criteria, I'm good. And they, you know, have they could confirm it just because it's based on these, all the things for commercial, the square footage, the pastures, the fencing, you know, everything in Title 30.
Okay. Got it.
So just give me the specific
locations,
and
okay,
we can follow that up.
As well as the homes that have been converted that are doing the rentals.
We got to talk about the apartment complexes.
Let's talk about that next.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you guys have any more questions on the?
No, I think we're straight there.
So let's move on to the second topic, which was what criteria where you can rent your home out or a portion of your home out to a citizen to collect rent. And the scenarios that we've had in the past have been people renting out rooms in their home. And I understand that that's legal under certain criteria.
Well, generally, I mean, it kind of comes into like a definition of family, who is in the family. So if I want to rent a room to you on a month to month, which our minimum rental is 30 days, nothing less than 30 days. I have to be minimum 30 days. So if I rent out to you, there's no criteria there that you have to follow other than the minimum 30 days. No Airbnb, no VRBO. And if you have like an accessory apartment or like that, the apartment has to have like a full kitchen to function, because like a casita is more of a guest house.
Correct.
You know, so if you're going to rent out the apartment, the owner of the property has to either live in the house and rent out the accessory apartment or vice versa. So they just can't rent both. They have to be living there.
So if you have a person that took their house and put it into four apartments,
Well, no, that's a little different. That's, I'm just saying, if you're renting out the rooms, you get people all the time, have roommates.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. They're renting to elderly people in wheelchairs that are wheeling down Hurtado and asking for money.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you know if they're kind of following under the community residence criteria? Because there's also that where people kind of have, like, you know, people with community residence, family, old elderly citizens, they have rooms in there to where they take care of them, have some type of care. They're not like hospice care or anything like that. But those are allowed. They do have to go through a zoning compliance. They just can't open up. And we go into the issues within 600 feet. They can't be group homes or things like that within 600 feet. But they meet all that criteria.
If we obtain those addresses, we can check and see what
yes,
they're allowed to be doing.
And you can on the gizmo. There is a criteria, you can see use separations.
Okay.
And it usually comes up in blue, and you have to be 660 feet. Now, you can waive that distance through a special use permit, but generally the idea is not to concentrate them all in one area, so they're supposed to be part of the community. So if you have two or three in an area, it starts becoming kind of a boring
house. Just to clarify, that's a special application through the state for group homes.
Yeah, it's not
totally
a group.
Different than I want to convert my house to four apartments and rent them to four people off the street that aren't part of this.
It's eight.
They've converted it to eight, and they're mainly.
So turn in your
elderly.
Yeah,
yeah.
That sounds suspicious to me.
And they're literally coming on their wheelchairs down the street to my gate, and they're asking me for food. And when I question them, they are paying their rent in food stamps on 50 cents on the dollar. So it is getting to be a problem because they don't want, what's money going to do them because there's nowhere to go. They
yeah.
they want food. It's terrible.
I can leave you my email address if you'd like to email it to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Card on me, but I'm happy to write it down.
Go ahead.
For you. And that way you can send me an all.
And not only that, they're elderly, which is upsetting.
Yeah,
we want to make sure they're being taken care of.
No, right. that's ridiculous. It doesn't sound right.
No. Okay.
And if you can't take EBT on 50 cents on it all.
No. That sounds shady. Clark County NB. That's Clark County NB. I just don't have enough space there.
Oh, okay.
NB.gov.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, just send me an email with that address and I'll look into it for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Mikey's in on
okay.
too.
All right. That's our turn.
That's it.
Comments by the public? None more public here. Our next meeting is July 30th, 2019.
Okay.
And we're adjourned.
Thank you. If any of you guys have any questions, you know, just email me.
And you'll email us that list so we can have it. That perfect. Thank you very much.